is Mamre Orba. So here already, there is no machlokes. Here, we will put the person in Teirim until he gives a get, because here the concern is Sakana. The concern is that there'll be an ultimate Sakana for the blood. V'ha din shantina v'makadesh, v'kadesh, kadesh gimul chadashim. So ki v'ch'amru gimul chadashim, v'mishenim u'beres, sh'arinu v'manasla. Aval im nimtzes v'uberes, oimei v'nigduyev, ad sh'teile, v'tonik chotar v'chadashim, v'lad sh'yigarish. So let's say in the normal case, the guy just waited it out. He's makadesh a woman. And now this is not going with the Rambam, this is going back with the most Rishayim. In other words, if most Rishayim, the purpose of the Shabbat is that he'll give again. Now what's going to be if he stuck it out? He's a tough guy. He didn't mind being in Nidoi for 90 days. And he didn't give again. So in such a situation, the Nidoi goes off. If she's not Muberes, the Nidoi goes off. We put her in Nidoi again. Because it's not a punishment. Rambam made it even clear. It's not a punishment. I put him in Nidoi so he'll give a get. But once the 3 months are passed, he has no reason to give a get. He's allowed to marry her. So b'meila, the Nidoi goes off. But if he turns out that she's Muberes, so the Nidoi will continue, right? Because the same way we would be Menadehem had he married a Muberes, had he married her not knowing she was Muberes, and we put him in Nidoi for the other reason, it'll just roll over into that nidui until she gives birth and she's meinakes for chavdal chadashim olad sheyigarish. Okay. Yeah. In other words, that's what we might call a rollover of the nidui, because the purpose of the nidui is to be kleifa a get. Now v'das k'tzas rabbi say v'chol shehi ketana ve'ein eruya leilich einam tanasa elam mishum gezeira de Rabbi Meir. Right, we learned before, there's just machlokes tanaim, but right, let's say a person is makadesh, a woman who's not ru'uya to give birth. An akara, an ayilonis, a katana below the age of 12. So according to one mandamer, you don't have to wait 3 months if her father wants to marry her off.
11, right?
Huh? 11. Yeah, well, between all the... Well, 11 and 12 would be a sakana.
Right.
Yeah. But she's below the age. Let's say below 11. Yeah. So the husband, the father could be makadosh, or the father, the mother, and the brothers could do kedushay mia. So according to Rabbi Yaisi, there's no din of avchana because you know for sure she's not pregnant, and it's not going to be a problem. Rabbi Meir, however, says we're geizer ketanos and eilonis and akora because of other women. So what is the din b'diavad if you're ever in that takana? So someone to be mechalik, imamar v'kidesh u'kanas lo chafilin le'gudarish. Meaning, even if we paskin like, an interesting chiluk v'alocha, even if we paskin like Rabbi Meir, that it's osur to be mechadesh and kal v'chaymer to be kones, but b'di'eved, if I was oimer, we're not mishavta, we don't do kfiya for any type of get. You're not going like the Rambam, because at the Rambam you're never kaifa again. But even like the Rishayim, you're kaifa again. You're not going to be kaifa in Rabbi Meir's kibbutz. V'lai mishabtinan lei ayisurin li'avad k'dei shelo yaitzi. K'dei shelo yaitzi. One second, I'm taking a tikkun here. Yes, they explain that we don't want to put it in a shamta in order that he shouldn't divorce her. Ella, but we do have Rav Meir's halacha. Kaif and Isai lahafrisha gimel chadashim kivin shizman ha'ikatav. Okay, so mad nazach. In other words, alib at the MS, there's no problem of pregnancy here, right? So really, there's no problem. Ella mai. Rabbi Meir says there's a takanas chachamim. So when azat takanas chachamim, we're not going to be kaifa get, but we will be kaifa them to at least separate. Now it could be, once again, we have your svara, that that since, I guess, once you're Kaifa Beget, we wouldn't be Mechalek between the Yisrael and the Kohen, because the Gemara itself says, so Mimela by a Katano L'chol HaPachas, where there's no problem with pregnancy, we don't want to create a din of Gershon that would be Mamsadur L'Kohen, but in deference to Rabbi Meir's like look, we still will require Prisha, even if there's no logical reason for that. So we're not simply saying b'di'evad, once you violated Rabbi Meir's takana, there are no consequences. Now it's interesting, like the Rambam. So it's interesting. There is no shamta, right? According to this, we're not mishamet on a get, but we're mafresh. It's interesting whether, according to the Rambam, this chiluk could hold any possible validity. Because since, according to the Rambam, the purpose of the nidoy is not to create a gershon, but it's to be ma'aneshim for being over on an isur d'rabbanan. If, according to Rabbi Meir, there is an isur d'rabbanan to be kaines ekitana, then the purpose of the nidoy would be served in both cases. So it could be that this chiluk that he brings in the name of Ksas Ravaisai is only going like the Shitas, which is the majority of the Rishayim, that the purpose of the Nidoy is to create a get. So Zakder, by a Katana, we don't want to create a get, maybe because of Kohen and the like. But if you learn that the purpose of the Nidoy is never to create a get, but it's to be Ma'anesh, because he was Iber, then it could be, that would be the same by a Katana, an Ilanis, and an Akara. So this Chiluk might only be like the other Rishayim. Okay, let's go a little further. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer did not remain there. Okay, unrelated din. Lo yikach adam isha b'medina zu v'yelch yikach isha b'medina acheres. Now what is our problem here? You marry a woman in one medina, right? Polygamy is permitted right before the end of the main gershon. And then you marry another woman in another medina. So what is the problem? Shema yizdavgu zeh yizeh. The two wives will meet. V'nimtze ach naisei achaisei v'yav naisei bita. So our problem is what? Our problem is that the two wives are not aware of each other. That's our problem. So memela, siblings might marry, right? Because they don't know, right? They don't realize they have the same father. So this is a chayra, only a problem. This is only a problem if they don't know, right? In other words, if I tell, right, a man is not, essentially we're just saying a man is not allowed to maintain multiple wives who are not aware of the father's existence, because there's a problem of Now, what is the problem of Av?
Same problem you have, like, the way it's legal.
He doesn't know whose daughter. He married this woman 20 years ago in another town. He went back to his hometown. He was in business traveling. Went back to his hometown and stayed there. And now, 20 years later, she comes to seminary in his town. Nice girl.
It's happening right now.
Why wouldn't he know who he married?
Guy is marrying his daughter in New Jersey right now. It's legal.
Incest is legal
in New Jersey. I don't
want to
waste time.
Okay. I'm sure there must be more to the story.
Not Jewish people.
He knows who his wife is.
Right, but he doesn't know his daughter.
His wife is Mazana?
No, he has contact with his family.
The issue is that he only lives in one place.
He has a wife
in another country that he's not living
in.
There may be some girl
and they went to club
here,
there.
And they met. Right. But he doesn't even know it's his daughter.
Right.
So that would look chayra. I mean, is that a problem? Even if the wives know, the pshat is, I guess, wives know. No, there's
one. Well, the salary, why would he tell his wife?
Is the Nakuda here? Okay. In other words, the problem of Akhnaisei Chaisei is that
the families don't know each other.
These families don't know who their father is. In other words, the brother doesn't know who his father is, and the girl.
So basically, they don't know that they're brother and sister.
No, no,
yeah, that's correct.
So they don't know that they're father and sister.
Right. Father and daughter.
Father and daughter.
Because the girl shows up without the wife. That's the problem.
Right.
He made his wife pregnant 20 years ago. Right. He skips town, and then the girl shows up, and he wants to marry a younger woman, whatever it is. Okay. All right. So therefore, these are issues. Now, Rav Moshe gives this discussion. Rav Moshe basically uses this argument. This is a famous series of tshuvas with the Satmar Rebbe, big with my buckets, about artificial insemination, where a woman gets pregnant from, now they do it in vitro, but they used to do just direct artificial insemination. So from the husbands, you have to have a child that's at mighty zero.
What's the difference? What's direct? What's direct in vitro?
No, direct just means the zera is injected into the woman's body.
So they're still doing that, you see. When I was a medical student, the medical students donated sperm to a guy who was an OBGYN doctor, and he impregnated 100 women.
Right, that's correct. And that's much cheaper than in vitro. It's much cheaper than in vitro.
In vitro is when they inject through the wound.
In vitro is they make the conception out of the bodies.
And then they
put the uba, the whatever you want to call it at that point, into the woman. But the way it was done in the 1960s was they took the sperm from some guy who sent it to them within, say, 48 hours while it's still viable, and they and then he impregnated the woman in his office with that sperm.
It is much cheaper, but in vitro there's
cheaper.
More,
say,
more
$10
control over the process and the like. In vitro is much
that's
more
what
expensive.
It was.
So the big machlokes. All right. So the shaila about a husband giving his own zera. That's a machlokes zera l'vatela. There we basically pasken, at least if there are waiting periods, that since the zera is coming out for the tayelas of puru, it's not called l'vatela. But let's say the husband's zera is not good. So the woman wants a child. So could she get from a donor? Right? Donor anonymous donor sperm. So Rav Moshe had an amazing psak. Rav Moshe said, first of all, it's pashut that legabe the husband is no kiyum of prior rivia because it's not his child. That's pashut. But Rav Moshe says if the woman really, really, really needs it, the only time it shouldn't be from a Jewish donor. Because if it's a Jewish donor, it's an anonymous donor, it's not a Jewish case. Avach naisei achais, which actually happened. There was
so this is a fertility
doctor.
This is a thing that happened.
Yep.
It was a Dr. Jacobson,
right.
A woman, who was my professor, who he basically impregnated hundreds of women
with
his own sperm.
That's right. That's
because
right.
Rather than go to a sperm bank, he just
that's
went
right.
to the bathroom.
His fertility
all right.
had
but,
the highest rate.
Yes, but in addition to that, though, he went to the medical students, which was my class, of which was probably 50% Jewish.
Right.
And he impregnated, I don't know how many women, with Jewish sperm.
Yep.
Jewish women.
That's right. Yeah, and they say, I believe demographically, they said that the chances, unless there would be DNA or something, of siblings marrying were very, very high. First of all, they say that with Derek Powell, you're going to marry somebody within like 10 miles.
Yeah, right in the first place, they're talking about D.C. Most of those people stayed in D.C.
That's right.
This happened in the 60s when I was a medical student. Yeah. So these people are all 40 years old now. If you go to D.C., you'll see how many people look like you. He went to jail only for a couple of years.
What's the offense?
Is he hit with child support?
No. He won because he's a Mormon. In his religion, he was apple
Jewish. Oh, he's allowed to have children.
He wants to have a lot of children. So he has hundreds of
children. I thought he was Jewish. Okay, he's not talking about
children. No, he's a Mormon.
All right, so Rav Moshe's chiddush was this. Rav Moshe's chiddush is that if it's Jewish donor sperm, you have a problem. It's usher because ach naisei achaisa, we wouldn't know who the siblings are.
It's not a problem with mamzeris.
This is what Rav Moshe was not mamzeris. Rav Moshe says mamzeris is not a problem
because
there was no bias issue. Rav Moshe holds bias issue. Rejection of sperm is not mamzeris. Now, Rav Moshe did say that non-Jewish sperm would be fine. Somebody said, and he said, in America, you could assume, I'll be right, that's not Jewish sperm. And he said, the reason is because the guy has no yichus to the child, so they're not siblings. In other words, if a non-Jewish sperm donor impregnated two Jewish women, the ach and the achais are allowed to marry.
Right.
Genetically, that'd be a problem, but I'll be halacha, there's no problem. So Rav Moshe said two things. Rav Moshe said two nekudas, both of which were enormously controversial. His first point was that if it's the sperm of a Jewish donor, even though it's aser als ach naisei achaisai, it does not produce mankeiros. That's Rav Moshe. Mm-hmm. And the second nekuda is, if she really needs it, she can have non-Jewish sperm. So both of these, the Satmar Rav was shrined chai b'chayim. Number one, the Satmar Rav actually paskened, if a woman is impregnated with donor sperm of a Jew only, she is a Saita, she is called the Mizana Beretza, she is a Surah to stay with her husband, and the child is a Mamzer. The second thing was more of a spiritual thing. That what type of Tumah is it that you're telling a Jewish woman to deliberately get impregnated from a non-Jew? That's an awesome, awful miastika.
The Nachash was Italian.
It's a Zuhama. But the Mamzer thing in particular, because that's more of a, there was a halacha, a Devar Masuyim. This was a bitter, bitter machlokes. And Kidarka, the Satmar, not the Rav himself, but the Satmar Hasidim are a bit violent sometimes. So they burn their emotion in effigy and all sorts of.
Unless you mean in effigy, but they might be in effigy.
They did different things. So Rav Moshe wrote four tshuvas in this. The fourth tshuva is very magnetic. No one knows what it means exactly. He said he is withdrawing his psak, although he's correct, and he's not chaser on anything he said. He says he's not giving it as a psak anymore, but he says, but don't think that he changed his mind.
whatever
you want to stop
the bones.
Yeah, yeah. But Lomaisa, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chayyus, for Mamzer, Rav Moshe held, even if you knew it was a Jew.
He says because there was no beer.
They are chayshish, at least misafik. Maybe, but if the child was born, they wouldn't pass along, but they say, there is a...
So did they use
their employer? The psak, religious people do not use this donated sperm, but you know, the husband, they do, from the husband's area, they do. You know, in fact, they developed in Eretz Yisrael fertility techniques, ICSI, they can inject a single sperm targeted. These are techniques that are now used in the United States with a lot of success.
Don't even need sperm anymore. You don't even need sperm.
Now you can just do...
Anything.
You can untangle the...
I told you when we were coming in here.
Take a cell and turn it into...
Every cell can make a person, right?
You can turn it into sperm, though, yeah. Either through cloning or through...
I thought it was just stem cells.
Stem cells.
So you got stem cells all over your body.
This was a big...
Stop those cells.
By the way, stem cells, that's what I do.
Through cloning is one way. You know, you could take any cell, you know, take out the nucleus of the embryo, or even with a cell, you can, how are cells created? You have the sperm and the egg unite, they create the double helix. Right. So if you find a way of untangling you don't even need that, but you can convert
the information to make a baby is in every cell you buy.
No, I understand.
You don't have to do anything to it. The reason that you have to put a sperm and an egg together is because each one only has
eggs. No, I understand that, but if you were to simply clone, essentially all the genetic material will be coming from one parent. In other words, if you want
to... So you want to make something from...
Depends what you want to make. In other words,
I don't know that people want to have a baby, they don't.
You can split the double helix one side and match it to someone else's other side.
That's creating
I can split one little piece out and get your eye color. I can split one little piece out and make you overweight. Yeah. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. So it depends. So they say you don't need sperm. You can do cloning.
Can you make me lose weight?
But you know, you're not going to get that. Not at our age, too late. But early enough, it could have died. Okay. The brave new world. So that's a. So this Stickle Gemara is the marker of Ramesh's with donor sperm that Ramesh's Asmaseh Chesed is essentially, this is Mamish, the man with an anonymous wife, right? There's a woman that this guy.
Fascinated by Shlomo's question, though. The piece that's brought up here has to do with two siblings.
Right.
Slapped after two siblings.
No, not after. Yeah, you know, I mean, they weren't enough not to mention every possible instance, but this is the easiest. I mean, the easiest, the first case you think of
was
your
brother and sister.
Yeah, brother and sister. Yeah. I had a kid 20 years ago. I never saw him.
If you did take Jewish brother the evidence, it would not be a mom's.
That's Ramesh's slap, yeah, absolutely.
But ideally, you shouldn't miss anything, regardless.
So Ramesh said, you don't take Jewish sperm only because of Ach Nosei Achosa.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So some people say like this. Some people say like this. So Ramesh doesn't address this. Okay. Hartena, if it's an anonymous sperm. Okay. Yeah. So let's say, I have a known sperm donor. In other words, I have a Jewish brother-in-law, who agrees to give. So Ramesh doesn't address it, but here the Paiskim say there's another mahalach that is already Cain and Sinus Mamish, that for a woman to be impregnated by a man whose identity she's aware of. Mm-hmm. So that creates a kesher with a specific person. Yeah. And that's a much, much bigger pirtza in Smius than stuff. In other words, there's a mila to an anonymity because there's no
kesher. That should make it more of a problem today because there isn't an anonymity. All of this.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Is that just because she could find out if she wanted to,
that information is known. They know what sperm goes to what woman.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know.
But he could find out.
The other guy's name.
He wouldn't know she went to a clinic. And she just was
anonymous.
She's single. Now I see her, she's pregnant. She has to go. Mother is the people that she went to IVF.
She's single.
Is she single?
No, that's a separate child. I didn't even mention. We're talking about now a married woman.
Some people want to know.
A single woman? That's a new child. That's a new
child.
That's a new child now. About a single, woman getting impregnated. So again, Rabbi Yashav didn't like it. He said it's appearance, it's a marasayim. But there is a post that could be TV world of Sholom. He gave Tanam. I mean, the Tanam are arbitrary, but he said that if the woman is at least 40 years old, and she's been looking for a shidduch for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
8 to 9.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's not using this as an excuse, to get married. So he said he would be matir b'kashi for her to go to a sperm bank.
A Jew or did he mention
that? He said, like, based on the Ramadji, it should be a non-Jew if it's possible. He matir b'kashi because he said otherwise she would never have a chance to have a child. But as I say, at a minimum, it's Ein Ruach Chacham and Nashrei Menu.
That's interesting, because it means she doesn't have any obligation to have a child.
She doesn't have any obligation. Yet, but the Gemara has a lashon that a woman could say, Wa'ina Chutru Liyata, I want a cane in my old age.
But that's against what they're mothering.
I understand, yeah.
What's kaveya a person's status? Like, he has to be oisek bepiriu rivia. But now, because medical science is so advanced, that even if he's got a low sperm count or oids, he's completely...
Would
he be mukhuyiv to... Or, if not now, because it's expensive, if the price comes down, at what level does his chiyuv stop?
Rav Shlomo Zalman says that you might answer to prove Ruiz Mrs. Hasei, you don't have to give more than a fifth of your assets.
Yeah.
But Shlomo Zalman says there's nothing to do with that. Shlomo Zalman says the chiyuv is kederach kolaris. Shlomo Zalman says you're not mechuyev to a in vitro. You're not mechuyev to do anything. You're not mechuyev to do anything beyond Aina. He says, now, overwhelmingly, religious people in particular do a lot of ishtavas procedures.
That's because they want to have children.
No, they want to have children, understandably so. But he says, Meikar Adin, Pruervu is not Bechayev, any ishtavas besides Aina itself. He says, because that's the only thing of success. Because you don't have to do any of these things, but now people want to do it. It's a good thing, but they're not going to do it.
That's Muska.
I didn't see anyone that's high like Pashut. I didn't see anyone that's high like Rosh Hashanah says is Kederach Kol Ha'aretz. The Torah is not chayav you to take advantage of all the technologies that do exist. Although they're a bracha, they're a big bracha. There's a great fertility clinic here. There are more than one, but I think it's Zir Chemed or whatever. They do tremendous things, but they're not chayav.
In general, I mean, heroic measures, they used to call it, were things that relied on heavy technology. There wasn't any chiyuv to go to such a thing, even in illness, right?
Yeah. On the other hand, if it comes to pikuach nefesh, that might be a different thing. You know, this was the issue of a ben shmeina, right? A baby that did 8 months and it's in the 9 months, which was considered to be not capable of living in something anymore. You weren't even allowed to be machal shabbos because death was so certain.
7 and 9 were good, but 8 was not good.
Right. And obviously, Shlomo Zalman says that with the advent of technology, obviously that halakha does not apply. You are mechuyim.
That really blows my mind. Because yes, I've always understood the 7th month is a ben kayama, like a 9, but an 8 is not. Right. Clearly, that's not a scientific reality. So if it's not a scientific reality, why is it now that we have a technology to overcome the scientific problem, which didn't exist, that's okay?
Well, it's in time Shia. In other words, we're not validating science in the abstract. We're simply saying, we know the kids live. We know the kids can live.
But that wasn't the reason that we thought that they died. In other words, I never thought that they thought that they died in 8 months because they can't live.
I understand. So your kasha is not on Rav Shlomo Zalman. Kasha is on the Gemara itself, meaning to say,
how do we understand the Gemara?
Why should kids live?
The only way I was able to understand was that I had to put my modern scientific reality as not being the thing that's kobeya that decision.
So your question is, on the Rebbeinu Shlomo, meaning, if for some spiritual reason, then why do these kids live today? I mean, it's really your kasha is why can they live today? I mean, that's really your question. Because if it wasn't a problem,
why can't we say it was a medical thing that they should not tell them?
There's no way.
It was a medical thing. Maybe it says there was some sort of development that started in the 8th month, and if it didn't get finished, then it wouldn't get finished. And
there's a cloud that during the time that an Uber is maturing, it's linear, it's getting better all the time. It can't get, it's 7 months, it's up here, and then drops down from
that. That's difficulty. 7 months.
It can't be okay.
I didn't know the medical background, but I understood it that there was something that started at the beginning of 8 months, and if it didn't start, then it's okay, I can do without it. Well, but if it did start it, I better finish it.
I hate to say this.
But that's not true.
There is a scientific explanation that are given by non-scientists to learning Gemara, which are now, you know, not viable. They're not tenable positions. So the way that we understand things now, though, I mean, the Rambam would agree, is that if the science is such, then if we have a din that at 8 months it's not going to be alive, it's because of some non-physical reason. It's because of some metaphysical.
but whatever you're going to say.
So now it's obviated.
That doesn't undermine Rosh Hashanah's elements because.
No.
Given the fact that they do live,
so
I don't know why the Teva change or this metaphysical Teva
change. If you want to say the Teva change.
But let's say the metaphysical Teva. I mean, it must have changed.
Something happened.
Whatever it was, something changed. So if something changed,
I don't have a problem.
Has to respond to that.
The Psaq sounds fine. What it is that now I'm uprooted from the way I try to understand it. Now I don't, not that there's anything wrong with the Torah. The problem is that I don't understand it now again. I mean, I don't have a mahalach. Never that I understand anything, but I had a mahalach, and now I don't.
I hear. Okay. And now, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov brings a pasuk in particular, right? There's a special avwa. In other words, the issue of ach naisei achaisei, when you don't know who the wives are, is not simply an individualistic problem. but it's a systemic problem that creates tuma in the world, that Chas V'Shalom could bring destruction in the world. He brings the pasuk Umala Ha'aretz Zima. When the earth is filled, particularly Eretz Yisrael, when it's filled with Zima, so the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael, Lysaki Ha'aretz Eschem, the land vomits out. Therefore, the this is not just the stomach error, but this creates a tuma. This sounds like these immigration things. The person is not allowed to marry a wife if his das is to be megarshin. Now, there's another halacha we have, as it did in the Dharma and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that you're not allowed to have bia, but just you're already married. That person's married. One is not allowed to have bia with his wife if his kavana is to be megarish. But this is different. This is talking about the this is only b'shas kedushin itself. Clearly, why would he get married to him in the first place? He's just thinking of shenemar. The pasuk is al tachreish al reyacha ra. Do not think silently about your friend evil. And the pasuk, actually, at the end of the pasuk says, "Veshocheves chaykecha," the one that is lying next to you. The question is, how does he bring this? Don't you get trouble to bring the drop-off?
Obviously without her consent, or even with her consent.
Well, it's interesting. The pasuk, the implication of the pasuk,
right. Sounds like it's without
is that he's deceiving her.
Right.
That's the implication
right.
Of the pasuk. Loisa adam isha v'dayte v'gorsha. That's Loisa adam isha. And then he says, Lo siya yeshevas tachta v'sham shasa v'dayte v'gorsha. So he combines them to say, he combines them at the same halacha. Parakam Mekadesh, Uribai Mekarsha, V'yashevas Tachta, V'misham Shasai, Karolai Al Tachreish, Al Reyacha Ra, V'yashev V'betach Itach. It's interesting. So the Rambam is combining the two Gemaras. That's an interesting point. The Gemara in Yavamis, which the Rif brings, the Rif here does not bring the other one, says Lo Yikach Adam Isha V'Daita V'Garsha, and it quotes the pasuk in Malachi, Mishlei Al Tachreish Al Reyacha Ra. Then there's a Gemara in Megarish, which is not Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. It's another Mandi Yomar. One second. It is. He doesn't bring some Gemara in Megarish. So the Rambam is Kailo both of them. It says both halachas are there. Is Nisr to be Makadesh? Or he doesn't say Makadesh, he says Yisa. Why the Rambam is Mishamir from the Lashon? Our Lashon is like Yika.
What's the other word? What is the other word?
The Rambam says
Yisa.
No, so according to you, so you're saying that maybe my statement about immigration is not
endless.
Right.
No.
That's not that immigration is they know ahead of time.
Right.
Let's say they know ahead of time. Would it be usher to marry? Telling her ahead of time, I'm doing this to get a green card.
She wants the green card.
Or she, that's whoever wants it. And we'll get divorced.
They pay a lot of money for this.
Would that be nichlal of this halacha?
Everybody's happy.
If it's al tachreish, tachreish is like a silent evil, it's a deception.
Right.
Is there something intrinsically parrots? About Dai 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 Nagarsha. So Ramaisa, the Gemara gives, the Rif doesn't bring it, but What if you got two people? Martin Achilles talks about the case that Rob would announce ahead of time.
Right.
When he would travel from city to city, he would marry a woman for a day because he didn't want to be without a wife for Yitzhara.
Right.
Umar says that that was one because he full disclosure.
Right.
What I have, I shouldn't, you know, this is not a very good meter that I even had such a thought. Yes. Let's say there's two people, they're from. They don't want to have, you know.
Yeah, they want to have relations.
They want to have relations, but they don't want to do something that's usher. So they say, listen, we're going on a vacation for a month, we'll get married.
The Sunnis do it all the time.
That would be
so, the Sunnis Muslims. It's a whole term for it. It's a term for it. Yeah.
In any way, obviously it's not nice, but it's.
I mean, I see what you want to say. That's a
good one. That's a lovely style.
That way they're not up. Except being not being nice, that not being nice is also
it seems like some kind of a pretzels or something.
It's not snua.
No.
Although maybe not.
No. I'll tell you the problem. The problem would be if you stop as you're on vacation and it depends on the scenario.
Yeah.
But if it's you're with a woman. And it's casual, and there's no home.
They say they're going for 2 years to Ethiopia to be in Peace Corps.
Good. So it's Ach Mei Seach Eis.
They're both going to come back.
In other words, what's going to be if he gets pregnant 20 years later, girl shows up?
No, he's talking about the same couple.
They're coming back.
He's not marrying another woman over there. He's not married and then married the same woman. He travels with her for a couple of years, and then they divorce. And that was the plan to start with.
But he's
going to
get married to somebody else, right?
Well, he knows his ex-wife, he knows his kid, he still has relationships.
Maybe he doesn't have any kids.
Or maybe he didn't have kids,
I mean, people get divorced all the time. We don't worry about this.
Can you do that? You decide to get married for a certain period of time.
Let me ask you this. How would you explain that generally? In other words, people get divorced, they get remarried. Now, Why would, I mean, let's take a crazy question. Why should I ever be allowed to get remarried? Isn't there a chashash of in other words, maybe I divorced my wife when she was pregnant. And
certainly Medina is there in Medina.
That's true.
So what do we say?
Why don't we worry about that anymore? Huh? Yeah, that's a great question.
Because I'll never worry. There was never
a worry about it.
There was never a scenario you tried to remarry after
your
divorce.
Right, and certainly not.
The woman has to wait 3 months, but I can get married.
Here is very understandable because there are two different countries.
No, they are also. But, you live in Chicago, Los Angeles.
No, and it's not. I'm just saying, there are two different countries. But, there's no difference, even if they were the same. Because I always said it by two different countries. In other words, they didn't say it in the same place.
They said Medina, because they
were one Medina. They didn't say
it doesn't even mean countries. It just meant Medina meant that they didn't know each other.
Even if you say two different countries, why am I allowed to divorce a woman in Israel and then marry a woman in America?
Right. We didn't have a problem with that.
Right. There was never a problem.
Right.
There was never a problem.
That's a good question.
So there's we're not going to convey a din that he's going to divorce her ahead of time.
Are we talking about something else now?
No, I'm saying when he marries the first woman, we're not going to worry about him divorcing her and going to Los Angeles to marry another.
I'm asking after he divorces her. I understand that.
So a person that can never get married, what's going to be the gazette?
I know.
The fact is, you still got to worry about brother and sisters getting married.
You
have to worry about siblings marrying.
So I'm asking, how can a person divorce a woman in one Medina and marry another woman in another Medina?
By the way, why does it have to be Medina? That was, you know, you live on 76th Street and you marry a woman on 63rd Street. They may never know each other.
That's true in New York.
It's not true.
In those days.
Right, but the fact that we're talking about siblings getting married who don't know that they're siblings.
Yeah.
That if any time that you get divorced, they're married.
Yeah.
More likely to happen on 63rd than 76th. They're closer.
Once you bring up the shash, like this shash, let me be in every case.
Yeah. And if we're not worried about if we're not worried in every case, then why would have to worry about it in this case?
But Loisa, you divorced a woman in one medina. Loisa, you can't marry a woman in another medina. It could be, just to give you a very balabatish, a simple answer. Secret incest, unknown incest is always a problem, right? It's always a problem. Elamai, Chazal don't want to stop a person from marrying. So most will say concurrently, when you're already married, don't do it. Meaning, if you're single, we're not going to be chayshish with this by definition, because we don't want to stop a person from getting married. Right. It's just a question of the chashash exists in a lot of cases. The chachamim are not going to be geyser to stop a person getting married.
By the way, I don't know the gather of this, but the chashash always has something to do with the real statistical likelihood. So, in other words, we have a desire for a man to remarry after he's gotten divorced.
That's right.
And the chances of this are 1 out of 37,000.
Right.
So it's not enough for Hashem to worry about.
So it's not that the Hashash is any less. It's the same Hashash.
Right.
There's a difference between the guy that already has a wife and the guy that's not married. That's all. Okay, that would be the simple answer. But the guy made this din about marrying with the Kavanah can get divorced.
I'll tell you what, it happens to be Moshe, I know Rav Moshe had this issue. Unfortunately, nowadays, kids go away to college and they end up living together.
Yeah.
And do they all need a get or not? And Rav Moshe said they don't need a get.
That's correct.
So, they were already dealing with this getter of people, you know, doing things for convenience around this issue because the tzniut issue wasn't the same as it should be.
Right.
So therefore, you would maybe think that such, you know, would have a habamin, a person who's a religious Jew, instead of, you know, being like the rest of the campus, we'll get married.
Yeah. Now, Rav Moshe's psak is based on actually a shtickle of the Rif that we look at the Rambam Paskins like that. The principle of the Gemara, Ein Adam Eisa Bilase Bilashnus. Whenever there's Be'ila, it's L'shem Kedusha.
Right.
You remember the Rif.
So all these people should be married.
So the Rif brings, that only refers to when there's a pre-existing relationship of Isha. So
right.
The case is where the husband was Makadeshi woman on the Tanai, so when he's Bayal, Shalom L'shem Tanai, to make it absolute. But when there's no pre-existing relationship of Isha, the Bilas husband is Bilas. This is the Rambam reflection for the guy. The Gaidim say, no, the Gaidim say, Taka, any Bia with a single woman is L'shem Kedushin.
Especially if the masav is that it's nikar to the world that this is a couple.
Yeah.
They've been together for a couple of years already. They're living together as if married.
No, so that's very different.
The problem.
That's a different nekuda. That's a nekuda when they went and they had a civil marriage or they had a reform.
It's not a civil marriage or a formal marriage. They're just the way that the secular world lives now. Since they don't believe in a religious requirement, and for tax purposes, they might then believe in a civil requirement either. They just
back as it. Yeah, so those would be questions.
They consider themselves married.
Certainly, if they don't consider themselves married, we don't say it becomes the right Rambam.
No, they do consider themselves.
That's even more, it's a problem, because once they're already open,
that would be analogous to
whether
halacha recognizes a what's called common law marriage.
But Rav Moshe Paskin, that those people didn't need a get.
Right. Dr. Moshe Paskin's even if they had a civil marriage reform ceremony, they don't need a get.
Uh-huh.
Because they're not bio to make a new condition.
Yeah.
They're bio because they think they have a marriage, which they don't. And
uh-huh.
That was
Rav Moshe's. So it obviously changed. If anyone got the bride to say, hey, honey, look at this Orthodox thing. How are you having a religious sleep? Then I can probably solve that.
But this was
Rav Moshe's
big heifer's prayer. It's helped the Malshubu world tremendously. The Matzil, the children of second marriages from Amzeris, are they finding the first marriage not valid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this is all based on the Rav, ultimately, because the any via with a Jewish woman is saying otherwise the Bilas and Bilas and Bessis.
And they were required to get.
Yeah. Remember, the Rif even says, and the Rif brings together, that even if a person is Bayo, the Shivcha Kenitis. we assume he was Meshacher, you know, etc. All right, but we have to be mind. I don't have a direct answer to intentionally marrying a woman when she knows you're planning.
That's a separate question.
Is there such a thing as a kedushin lisman? If I'm a kadesh, a woman for 30 days, does it automatically, it's only a kedushin for 30 days? We pass it, kedushin cannot be nifra automatically.
I think if we do it tomorrow, it would have to be 10 o'clock.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
We'll try for 10 o'clock.